Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here, too. And you're just in time for Eva Rosenberg. Eva is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Golly, bum, we go back a long way, Eva and I. She's been a member of our Brain Trust. I'll have to look it up here in a minute, but she's been around for a while as a member of our Brain Trust, probably close to 8 years. She's the author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy. She's one of the top small business tax experts in the world. She's also has a national tax column. And more importantly, though, she's our good friend. Eva, welcome back to the show.
Well, good morning, Jim. It's great to start the year with you.
It is great to start the year with you. And by the way, April will be our 8th anniversary.
That's right.
Did you know that?
Just don't tell your wife.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have you here, and it's good to have you continue to be part of our Brain Trust. Eva, what's the news? What do we need to know as we get into 2006? What do we need to know from a tax standpoint?
Okay, let me just hit on one thing briefly, because I could go into this for like an hour. That new 3% Section 199 deduction for qualified production activity that everybody's so crazy about.
Yeah, this is the manufacturing deduction?
That's the one.
Right.
Worthless. It will cost you more to do the accounting for it than what you're going to get for it.
Okay, this is the thing, folks, you heard me talk about a while back. I haven't talked about it in a while. This is a new to encourage manufacturing in the United States. The government passed this deduction that Eva's going to tell you a little bit more about in a minute. And what they did was they made the definition of what manufacturing is so broad that you could almost be doing anything. In fact, you know, in other words, Eva, you know, we create content and produce archives and you know, different ways of delivering that content, and I think we even qualify as a manufacturer under that code.
Very probably because of the content that you're actually creating,
and we
have
actually
tangible,
and we have processes that we go through to make it happen, and we use technology and things like that, and so it's you know, in a way, and I can, and actually, you know, from a technical standpoint, we are a manufacturing company, but we're not the traditional manufacturing. But what you're saying is if you thought that this might be a new little benefit, a little financial windfall, I should say, that it's really not. And tell us why.
Well, the odds are it's not going to. First of all, you've got to deduct all the costs of portions or components of your product that you buy. So in other words, if you're buying software and that's part of the process, you didn't create it, that comes out of the cost.
Ah.
Second, you have to have W-2 employees. So if you're self-employed and you have no employees,
right,
you can't use it at all.
Okay.
Third, you're going to report it on a Form 8903, which doesn't yet exist, so nobody can actually follow it.
Are you serious?
I just looked at the IRS site. I can't find it. I did a search on the IRS site, no reference, except in instruction areas in other publications. But what's good about it is it's a deduction from taxable income for business entities. It's a deduction from adjusted gross income for individuals that do qualify. And even better, it's a deduction that will reduce your alternative minimum taxable income if you're in that place.
Right.
But it's so low. We ran the numbers, and it's so low for practically anybody that the cost of separating out the components and things that aren't part of the deduction,
mm-hmm,
are going to be so high to do the accounting, you're not going to get what you
get. So you're saying, well, what is deductible then? If I buy a server and I buy some software to run that server, and I can't use that as part of the deduction?
Very possibly.
Of course, I will have already taken the deduction on my, section?
1120, are you incorporated?
But I'm talking about the $125,000.
The section 179.
179 is what I was trying to say.
That's different.
But I would have already taken that. In other words, that's where I would take off the server. I would take that through 179.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be able to take it again through the manufacturing discount.
Exactly. Most of the people who would otherwise qualify are already deducting everything.
They're already getting the benefit. So it's not an extra credit. What would fall through that this actually helped you on?
Well, this is for people who would otherwise have to capitalize these things and deduct them over a period of time.
Okay, things that don't qualify, like if it were beyond the $105,000 deduction of the 179.
Right.
All right, stand by. We're going to clear all this up, folks, right after these messages. Stay with us. 20 till. We'll be right back with Eva Rosenberg with some other tax tips right after these messages.
No woman just to call my special friend.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Eva Rosenberg, national tax columnist and author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy. Eva, tell us how we can find your book and tell us how we can find all the other stuff that you have available.
Well, you can find the book at Amazon, Borders, or most bookstores. It's called Small Business Taxes Made Easy. And the truth is, it transcends taxes and helps you for your business.
Right. And it's easy to read. It makes sense. And I encourage you to check it out. Whatever Eva has to say is excellent. And it's also give us your website, too. Is it still taxmama.com?
Taxmama.com. And if you're interested in daily tax tips, audio tax podcast, go to taxquips.com.
Taxquips.com. Or can they get to that from taxmama.com?
They can obviously get there from tax.
Yeah.
You can get to anywhere from taxmama.com.
Folks, I hope you'll check it out. You gotta love somebody who calls their website taxmama.com. She calls it tax information with a mother's touch. How about that? Eva, let's get back to let's wrap up this manufacturing thing real quick. What you're saying is that whereas initially it looked like this was going to be a real benefit to a lot of people that previously had not been considered manufacturing, it actually is only going to be really effective for people who are in manufacturing.
Well, it will be, but more of us will be. You're right. More of us will fit the definition. In fact, if more than 20% of your business goes to wholesalers instead of retail, you can be qualified as a manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
And as a stretch, Starbucks, who's a retailer,
mm-hmm.
if a Starbucks store is selling at least 20% or more of their product wholesale by, grinding coffee as a manufacturing process and selling it wholesale to businesses or something, they will be qualified as a manufacturer.
Hmm.
So it's a stretch.
Right.
So don't discount yourself. But have a good accountant who understands how it works, or you're going to lose it.
Right. All right. What's next?
Well, there's that credit everyone's talking about for alternative fuel vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of neat because unlike the previous one, which was a deduction from your income.
Right.
This is an actual credit.
Which is better.
Which is better because it reduces your tax directly.
Right. It doesn't reduce your income to then be taxed. What the remainder to be taxed? It mm-hmm. actually comes off of the tax.
Right. And so, it's a combination of two things: a fuel economy credit, which is between $400 and $2,400 per car, and a conservation credit, which is between $250 and $1,000 per vehicle, and IRS will determine how much the total credit is for each specific vehicle.
So if I buy a hybrid, a gasoline electric car,
mm-hmm.
let's say I buy the Toyota that they've got out now.
I think that one is designated as $1,500.
Okay, so this year, if I bought one right now and put it in service today,
mm-hmm.
even if I'm not using it for business, I'm just using it for personal use.
Mm-hmm.
I can take $1,500 for that car, and that's a credit this year.
Right. Now here,
all at once.
Here's the new thing, though. Now, it's not just purchasers. If you're leasing it and you're the original user, you'll qualify also.
Total of $1,500 on that one, for example. Of those two credits you said, they total up to about $1,500?
Right, and you can go to the manufacturer's site, to Toyota or whoever.
I bet you they'll help you figure that, won't they?
They will help you. Now, the warning is, and you probably heard this, only the first 60,000 cars sold by each manufacturer qualifies.
See, I don't understand that. What's going on with that? Why would they put a lid on something like that?
Probably to get you to buy it early. And that means that you're going to pollute less for the whole year.
Yeah.
Now, but bear in mind, it's not what you think. It's not as bad as you think. For instance, Toyota, you brought up, they sold 50,000 cars during the whole first half of 2005. So you don't have to rush out today to get it.
Right.
Get time.
Although the higher gas prices are, I bet 2006 accelerates that a little bit. But the main thing is, but you get that all at once in 1 year, right? Even if
you get it all at once.
What if you sell the car? What if you sell the car next year? Is there a recapture?
You know, I didn't look that up. But usually,
I can't believe I stumped Eva.
And
folks, in 8 years, I've never stumped Eva Rosenberg, but I think I just did. All right, what's next, Eva?
Okay, there's a credit for the alternative fuel refueling property. So if your business sets up a station for storing fuel or for electrical charging and so forth, you can get up to $1,000 for residence installation or $30,000 for commercial installation.
I know some companies that use propane to drive their vehicles.
Is propane
considered alternative fuel?
It probably is. There's that methane stuff.
Yeah.
There's
biomass and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there's all that stuff. Some of that stuff's really dangerous, and it's not as efficient as it sounds.
Right.
We could go into that another time because my husband's a truck driver and tells me.
All right. What are some things that are not fuel related? What are some new things we got?
Oh, lots of good things. Fringe benefits. If you have employees.
Is that fringe benefits or French benefits?
Let's not go there now. Ivana's listening. But fringe benefits, if you're paying your employees for parking, parking at work, you can only give them up to $200 worth of free parking or paid parking if you're in a building where you have to pay, or $105 a month for transit passes. So this is per month.
All right. Now, what about something for Flyover America? That's big city stuff. Parking. In Flyover America, we don't have to pay for parking. We just park. We have plenty of room.
Oh, well, if it's free, don't worry about it.
Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Eva Rosenberg right after these messages. We're going to talk some more about some of those French benefits right after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Eva Rosenberg is here, too. She's our good friend and one of our top tax experts in the Brain Trust. She's the author of Small Business Taxes Made Easy, available wherever books are sold, and at her website, which I like to say, taxmama.com. Eva, let's talk to us about some other tax issues. And now get us some Flyover America stuff, some regular stuff that everybody can use, not just this big city stuff.
Okay. Lots of people have formed partnerships, even if they call them LLCs.
Limited liability companies.
Oh, God. Here's some new news. IRS has put their foot down on expenses that aren't reimbursed by the business.
Okay.
So if the partnership would have reimbursed the costs, then the business should have taken them on the tax return. You don't get to take them personally on your tax return. If the partnership doesn't reimburse your costs, because I tell my clients, if you've got one partner that likes to spend way too much money and live first class, there's no reason you should carry the burden. Spell out limits in writing.
So you're saying that if you and I are partners and we agree that the country club is one of our benefits. Let's say this is for fun.
Right.
And you belong to a country club that's about half as much as my mine is. Then the company pays for yours and half of mine. I can't take the other half of my personal income tax.
Well, no, because it's in writing. First of all, a country club is a bad example because we can't deduct country
club. Okay, sorry about that. Use another one.
We can deduct the usage of the country club for business.
Right.
And let's say yours costs twice as much as mine.
Right, right.
Then we can, if we put it in writing that the partnership will limit reimbursements, say up to $5,000 a year.
Right.
Then everything over that, you can deduct personally.
Okay.
But if it's not in writing,
mm-hmm.
forget it. And if IRS looks at it and it should have been something the partnership could have deducted and it wasn't spelled out, you won't be able to deduct it and the partnership won't deduct it.
Wow.
Because the partnership didn't pay it.
Didn't do it, yeah.
So here are the rules. Set the written agreements set the written limits on the deductions in the agreement. Spell out that the partner is required to pay the expenses even if they're unreimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a trick where you can adjust the profit-sharing percentage and run it all through the partnership. It's a little complicated,
right.
But it's something that I do.
But that way you can get around having to deal with the taxes.
Exactly, not
yeah.
bringing it to your personal return.
Mm-hmm.
But the trick is put things in writing. Want more bad news?
Yeah.
This is very bad. People who think they are self-employed, the very first tax court case in 2005, TSC 2005-1, the tax court decided that a self-employed cellist in Pasadena who took business deductions on his Schedule C was really an employee. What
because,
a shock.
Because he only played for one symphony.
Don't know why. The tax court looked at seven components.
Well, if he had more than one customer, he couldn't be an employee.
He might have been. He might
really?
Have been. Because
That's not good news.
That this is definitely not good news. So
But this is California, though, Eva.
Yes.
I mean, California's not part of the United States anymore, is it?
Well, we are one of the seven largest countries in the world.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, this ruling stands. So be careful. There's a lot of court rulings.
That's a very troubling development.
It is a very troubling development.
Because if that cellist works for the Pasadena Symphony and that's the only company that they play for,
then they're
clearly an employee. But if they you know cart their cello all around the state and are in different places here and there, then in my opinion they are an independent contractor. They're self-employed.
Well, I would hope that they would have appealed that.
Yeah.
I would really hope that. No, he played for the Los Angeles Opera and the Long Beach Symphony.
Mm-hmm.
And he received 25 W-2s.
Well, that's California stuff then. That makes no sense, does it?
Well, it does, because really he wasn't in business. And so watch out if you're working for a lot of different companies but you're on their premises
mm-hmm.
using their stuff. You know, look at the 20 factors of being self-employed.
You know why this happened, don't you, Eva? Nobody paid the payroll withholding. That's what happened. And they caught them.
These guys paid their own self-employment taxes, but what that happened was they moved all of his self-employed deductions and moved them on schedule on Form 2106 as
yeah.
employee business expenses.
Hmm.
Be careful, guys.
That's a tricky one. Hey, thanks, Eva, for being here. Good job and Happy New Year. We'll see you next time. Eva Rosenberg, ladies and gentlemen. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.